Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
Off the ball, GAA.
What am I supposed to do? Like, what's wrong with throwing it up and palming it above? It's a striking motion. Now, Ryan is saying Limerick are throwing it all the time. Every team is throwing the ball. Every team is throwing the ball. Like, you know what I mean?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball, breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show.
Just with myself and Keith, and Dara Smith-Nocton is back at the studio with us, as is Hannah O'Connor. Good morning, Hannah.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. I mean, this is going fairly well, the Guinness Women's Six Nations. Yeah. I suppose on a par with what we would have hoped for, maybe. Gap closed a little bit on England and France, certainly. And the win over Wales last week, 40 points to 14. And you're still looking at that game, thinking there's a few things that could have been better.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be in, isn't it? Like, to be at this stage of Six Nations, where we normally are kind of the last few years where we've suffered a heavy defeat to England, and you're kind of rolling into the last week of it, hoping to kind of put up a bit of a grandstand finish for it against Scotland, which has been over the last few years. This year, a little bit different. Playing England a little bit earlier in the competition has been nice to be able to bounce back against Wales last week. And as you said, put in a performance that fantastic, like comprehensive win in the 14-40 away from home, but to still have a lot of frustrations there is what could have been in terms of a scoreboard. But yeah, it's a good place to be. So I think in terms of aspirations for the tournament at the start of it, I think the girls will be pretty happy where they are, you know, what could have been against France in round one. But other than that, it's been a pretty good tournament as a whole.
Aoife Wafer ruled out of the game this weekend, tomorrow afternoon, 2:30, of course, at Hive Stadium in Edinburgh. Player of the match last weekend. It's a big blow for her.
It is.
But she just proved again why she is Ireland's go-to player this tournament.
Yeah, it's a kind of another hammer blow to Ireland after losing Erin King kind of the week previously. I met her last night. She was down at our club training last night, as she does. She shows up like all the time when she can, which is great, like from a club point of view. I don't think, hopefully, nothing too serious is going to rule her out for a long term, more precautionary, I suppose, just to keep her tipping along in the right kind of space ahead of a big World Cup year. But yeah, look, it tests Ireland's resolve. We talked about it a little bit last week as well, in terms of that strength and depth that Ireland are going to need to have. You're going to have these kind of injuries in an attritional, like these three games. Obviously, the bodies will be sore after them in a heavy kind of Six Nations campaign as it is. So like rolling into a World Cup year, this is what's going to happen, unfortunately, in the tournament. You're going to lose bodies. So it's a case of being able to adapt and overcome it, and next person up mentality, and it's another chance for other people to put their hand up, I suppose.
And how, we spoke about the injury to Aoife Wafer there, how do we pick up the slack? Is it one player will be tasked to doing that? It might be a
not
bit
even,
difficult.
Yeah, not even a one player mentality. Like, you've seen the shift there in terms of positional shift, like Dorothy Wall slots back to six. It's a natural position for her. It's where she starts off playing most of her rugby, so that won't be unfamiliar to her. She'll have a great time in the loose. It's something that she'll adapt really well to. So I think you'll have her have another big game. I think she probably went under the radar a little bit last week. I think she had another kind of player of the match performance kind of next to Wafer after that, in terms of her carries, her workload, hooks, hit, try, scored. She did a bit of everything, leading the line out as well. I think Adele McMahon has been, you know, she's your workhorse in there in the back row as well, in terms of the unseen work maybe that she'll do in terms of rooks, hit and everything like that. So good to see her come back from injury and kind of be racking a few games together. But Brittany Hogan is probably another one you'll watch. She's slotting back into eight. It's where she's played over the last few years. You'll get a massive work rate out of Brittany, and probably even more so now that the likes of Erin King and Wafer aren't there. You're probably going to see her have a big game in terms of stats racked up. So I would back them three to go really well. And there's other people, obviously, the likes of Jane Clossy slotting onto the bench for a possible debut in back row as well. It's exciting for her. So like, as you said, it's not just one person to pick up the slack. It's other people who will be able to put their hand up. Claire Bowles gets another shot on the bench as well, in terms of that back row cover as well. So it's exciting for those players. Yeah, as I said, it's disappointing for the likes of Wafer to miss out on the last game of the tournament. But next person up kind of job is the exciting part for the others involved as well.
You mentioned one of them there. There's two new caps for the weekend. Aoife Corey and Jane Clossy, obviously daughter of the famous Munster legend, Peter. Can you tell us a bit about those two? I know you played them a week and a half ago.
It's exciting, isn't it, for them, the two girls, both UL Bowes girls. I'd say the only person in the country probably who wasn't as happy for them to be getting the call up was the UL Bowes coach, Fee Hayes, ahead of the AIL final this weekend. But look, no, it's fantastic for them. Aoife Corey especially, you know, she's been tipping along in the background, brought into the Six Nations squad this year, has been kind of in and around the group, has been integrated into kind of sevens camps, I think, as well, over the last year or so. So to see her, she's probably, you know, you're out and out 15 player there that's there. Maeve Dealey has been unfortunate. She's another one of a club mate of mine, but she's been unfortunate with a kind of a hand injury at the start of this campaign. So look, Aoife Corey gets her crack at it from the get-go, has had a really good kind of few years both with Munster and with UL Bodes. She's been your kind of steady 15 there, very kind of assured under a high ball, strong runner back in terms of what Ireland would be looking to play as well. So gives you a little bit something different to Stacey Flood there. But yeah, it's great for her to get a crack at it. Same for Jane Clossy, another one who's had a kind of a great Celtic Cup campaign with the Clovers, has been your kind of steady flanker. She can cover second row as well, but kind of more of a flanker, that kind of getting into the engine room of it with the back row stuff. But yeah, another exciting day for her, of the kind of the more anticipation off the bench that she's to wait for. But nah, exciting time for the two of them to hopefully get a first cap for both of them.
And Vicky Elms-Killen makes her first Six Nations start, or due to make her first Six Nations start this weekend. She pressed a lot of people against England and Wales off the bench. She, of course, made her debut back in November against Australia. We should be pretty excited about her, shouldn't we?
Yeah, it's another person, another young kind of up-and-coming player from Wicklow Rugby Club. So they'd be very proud of her as well. And she's kind of come through their grassroots system, been in with the sevens for a long time, and obviously crossed over back into the 15s game there over the last kind of year or so. Again, getting her minutes up with the Wolfhounds. So yeah, it's exciting to see how she goes. I think it'll be a big game for her. I think if you look at the Scotland team, they are probably, compared to Wales last week, who were probably more dominant in terms of, well, in terms of their own team, in terms of the forwards, with Scotland have threats both in the pack, but their back three are particularly pacey and pose a threat in the likes of Rona Lloyd, Chloe Rowley and Francesca McGee. So the girls will have their hands full in terms of a nice busy fixture to keep them going. I think it'll be a big game as well for Amy Lee Costigan as well on the other wing to help kind of settle the girls and, you know, have those comms up to settle them into the game. But look, as we talked about, like it's another chance for people to put their hand up in the last game of the campaign. So I'm sure the girls will be very excited. But yeah, the back three for Ireland is definitely, it's an exciting prospect ahead of Saturday.
When Dan O'Brien gets the yellow card last week, what was it, 14-7? Yeah. At that point, and you're thinking, just hold firm here, don't let anything go astray, and then they end up, you know, pushing the lead to 21-7 by half time. Just shows a real strength of character that this Irish team could push on in that sort of environment.
Yeah, and I think that's the psychological edge that Ireland now have. It's having the belief in your system that, yeah, a couple of years ago, if that had happened, you lose your 10, you are literally saying, batten down the hatches, let's get to half time, let's get to that 40 minute mark without conceding, just hold firm, keep it simple. But that just shows you where this Ireland team are at now, that they will play ball. They'll just adapt and overcome those little bumps that happen. They've probably prepared for that. I'm sure they probably would have trained where you're training 14 against 15 to be able to adapt to those kind of mishaps that come along the way. And yeah, it did, as you said, showed real strength of character to be able to score while you're down a player. So it shows where we are and where we're going, which is great. You'd obviously be hoping that doesn't happen on a regular basis where you lose your 10. But it gives you the option. I suppose we saw Enya Breen as well last week step up into that 10 jersey as well for a time towards the end of the game, which is, you know, important, I suppose, to get depth in that position. We've talked about it earlier on in this campaign about getting depth in certain positions, that we have an abundance in certain positions, and then in some positions we're a little bit lighter. So 10 is definitely somewhere. We have Nicole Fowley obviously as well there, who doesn't get a look in this week, unfortunately for her, but Enya Breen will be the cover there in terms of 10 positionally wise, so it's good.
On that depth, Hannah, like, so you look at the scrum half position as an example, perfect example, probably Molly Scuff-McCabe against Wales, Emily Lane against England and France, Aveen Riley against Italy.
Yeah.
Is that a positive sign of depth, or should that be a worrying trend that maybe someone's not taking hold of the jersey?
Yeah, it's hard because, like, I don't think Aveen Riley did anything wrong in her. I thought she had a really, really good games when she featured for it as well. And then sometimes it can be just down to what the coach's preference is as well. Sometimes you can be on the wrong side of it. So I don't think, you see in some of the changes this week, like you look at someone like the nines position, the girls are getting rotated. Molly Scuffle-McCabe gets another crack this weekend after having to wait for the first half of the tournament. You see someone like Siobhan McCarthy, who went really well last week, has completely dropped out of the 23 this weekend for true no fault of her own. So there's a few of those positional changes where you've probably seen an element of rotation with the last game of the competition, where Ireland are kind of cemented in that third place bar, kind of a big upset really with Scotland if Italy do their business against, but it's not really a threat for Ireland at the moment. So yeah, probably an element of rotational and positional flips to give people chances, but also maybe people have put their hands up in training, and is that kind of keeping people on their toes element? So yeah, it's tough for some people, unfortunately.
And there's probably no harm in having the three scrum halves just going into the World Cup year. And we kind of have maybe an issue at 10 where we don't have three standout players. I know Enya Breen can obviously cover 10, but it's not her natural position. We have Dan, obviously, who's nailed on star at this stage, and Nicole Foley. We're probably missing a third out now 10 going into this World Cup year, even just a young 10 that's been in camp and had a game or two, come off the bench, whenever it is. Do you think we're missing that? Or
yeah, there's a little bit of that. Like we, yeah, as you said, you mentioned it there. We've an abundance in it in some positions. The nines is a really healthy kind of competition between the three of them, and it's something over the last few years which we haven't had. We've been kind of a feast or a famine in some positions. But yeah, the 10 thing, I suppose, is something that you would be a little bit concerned of. Definitely know Enya can cover it in terms of that, but you kind of, as you said, out and out tens, we are a bit skinny on the ground with only Dana and Nicole Fowley there to cover. And Nicole Fowley is another, you know, a great 10 with a big boot on her as well, but it's game time that you want, and unfortunately she hasn't been given too many opportunities at it in this campaign, only against England. I suppose looking more to what's kind of in Ireland, I suppose Kate Flannery is one that will be hoping to kind of have the coaches sit up and watch her this weekend when she gets a chance to go for UL Bows in the final against Railway in the Aviva in the AAL final on Sunday. And I think Katrina Finn has obviously been in and around that squad as well, with been brought over to the WXV1 camp in Canada. So she's another kind of 10 prospect. So there's a couple in the background there that'll be chomping at the bit to try put a hand up this Sunday in more domestic circumstances. But yeah, you never know what can happen. But it is somewhere you probably need that bit of extra depth in, yeah, for sure.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
We often talk in sport, Hannah, about the why and players using their why, you know, as inspiration for matches. And I was presenting this on the paper review last weekend, and there was a couple of lovely pieces on Brittany Hogan.
Yeah.
And I hadn't realised her backstory and that she'd lost her dad in such tragic circumstances. Horrendous. And you know, she wears the ring with her dad's ashes in it. She wears the wristband with her dad's name on it. Like, when you hear stories like that, it brings home what these players are playing for. Brittany's story particularly is an incredible one.
Yeah, it is. It's like, and as I said, she's shown really massive strength to be able to kind of deal with that and to cope with such a loss as well. And to talk about her story as well, kind of over the last while, you've seen that in the news as well, to be able to talk to it and share kind of her experience of it, which is brilliant for others to kind of be able to resonate with. But yeah, there's a lot. Like, it's funny. It's something that you do within the team environment when you're in a team long term like that, that as part of your culture piece, that you would kind of sit down and discover people's why you play, why you fight so hard to put on the green jersey, why you commit so much time to it, why you give up all the kind of family events, the birthdays, the weddings, the every other thing that you're giving up to try and commit yourself to it. And yeah, it's a really interesting piece because you really don't know what some people have gone through and their journey to get there and why they're doing it now. So yeah, as I said, Brittany is just one of those people who puts a hell of a lot into it and kind of the meaning behind it, no more than others as well. You know, we talked about Aoife Wafer having a truncated start to her career with injuries and stuff like that. So there's loads of different whys, but yeah, it's definitely fuel for the fire for her, for sure.
Mm. Same in football, Keith. I presume you sit down with, you know, managers and psychologists and stuff and you talk about your why, and that's something that crops up every now and again in team bonding sessions particularly.
Yeah, it comes up a lot, especially with me. I was somebody that playing football became a job very, very quick. It became mundane to me turning up on a Saturday and a Tuesday to play a game. So every now and then a little reminder to why you're doing it, why you're making these sacrifices during the week. And, you know, I would say why you're not out partying. I was out partying and playing, so I can't really say that. But generally, most people would make an awful lot of sacrifices to be able to do what they do. So a little top up every now and then to the why is obviously a very good thing. But look, Scotland have a 50% win rate at home this year, and they are an improving team. Is there anything that will be highlighted in the Irish dressing room before the game?
Yeah, I think in terms of the strategy wise of going against it, like Scotland, from an Ireland point of view, they've conceded 4 or more tries in all of their games so far. So that's a real area that, in terms of the counter swing, Ireland have had a quite their the next try scoring kind of top of the table after England, which is a great stat for us to have. We'll obviously be hoping, like, Scotland will be looking at us and knowing that we have very quick ruck retention. Our attacking rucks are very quick. We want that gold ball where the ball has gone from Molly Scuffle McCabe or any of the nines within that kind of 2 to 3 seconds to allow us to play the flow of game we want. I think what's interesting is Scotland have gone, in terms of their back five in the pack, they've gone for kind of their strongest. They've put Jade Conkle up in the second row, which isn't something you see, but it's basically to get the likes of her, Evie Gallagher, McLaughlin, and welcome their captain, Rachel Malcolm, back into the team. They've gone for their most attritional kind of back row / back five. So they'll be looking to slow down our ball as much as possible. So we saw it last week in the flashes in the opening stages against Wales. You can bet your life that Scotland will have been watching that to show that where we didn't get the rucks right, they'll be looking to, you'll see a kind of an onslaught of our rucks early on to try and settle Ireland, especially with the home advantages, you said. they will look to slow down that ball. If they can slow down that ball, Ireland will need to kind of get a hold of it early doors, or you'll get the crowd behind them and it'll start to swing in their favour. But yeah, I think the fact that Scotland defensively have been kind of found wanting in the last few games as well, and they suffered that home defeat to Italy, which would have been against the cards definitely for them, and a big upset for them. You know, Ireland will be looking to hit them where they hurt and kind of punish them and kind of go for the third loss on the bounce for them, hopefully to finish the campaign on a high for us.
Can we talk a bit, just for a second, about Aoife Dalton? It's probably someone we don't talk about that much just because she's so consistent. She will start this weekend. She'll have started all six games, or all five games. And last year, she struggled to really get into starting team with Enya Breen and Eve Higgins holding down the midfield. Sometimes we overlook someone like that because they're so consistent in the team. You see it in the men's team, but like someone like Gary Ringrose at that same position.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they're so good game in, game out, that you kind of forget about them. But she's absolutely class. She was out for media there this week, and she was speaking about her struggles last year and getting into the team. Can we talk a bit about her?
Yeah, you probably forget that she's still so young. Like, she came in and came on the tour to Japan with us for her first caps. And when I say that, like, she was kind of wise beyond her years even then, like, as like a 19-year-old coming in, nothing tends to faze Aoife too much. You've probably seen in media as well. Yeah. Very chill, very softly spoken, will not talk just for the sake of talking. If she has something to say, it's very meaningful. She is misconsistent, and I think I'm delighted for her in this campaign that her worth has been seen by the coaching team, because to be honest, I've said it before, I would build a backline around Aoife Dalton, such as the high regard I hold her in. Having played with her at Leinster and played with her at Ireland, that was how high I would rate her in terms of how many times she gets you out of trouble. Saw it last week even against Wales. They had a break at one stage. She makes the tackle and she bounced straight to her feet and steals the turnover. Like, that's a swinging moment in the game that if they get back into that game before half time, all of a sudden Ireland are under the cosh. But she just does that unseen work, as you said. The organising that she does on the pitch in terms of defensively leading, she's always in the right place at the right time. You'll rarely see her miss a tackle. All those little moments of kind of linking up everything together. Very, very modest player. Someone who will happily, you know, do the right thing for the team in terms of the selfless work, in terms of whether it's a pass or linking up or running the hard line, the decoy line. She is your kind of your Gary Ringrose, as you said, in terms of all the work that she can get through in a game. So yeah, delighted to see her get her crack. I think she'll be a really interesting battle this week because she'll be up against Emma Orr on the other side for Scotland, who's a similar player, young player, pacey player, someone who they would rank probably as one of their biggest defensive leaders on their team too, in the workload she gets through. So I'm excited to see that matchup in terms of how they go against each other. But I would back Aoife Dalton to have another good day in the office.
How will Enya and Eve be feeling now? Because obviously last year, as we said, they were starting and she couldn't really break that partnership up.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of, they're fighting for the 12 jersey all of a sudden. Are they feeling kind of like, God, I have a lot of work to do here?
I think Aoife won't be feeling very assured in that jersey either. I think the three of them will know that there's people chomping at their bit behind them. You like the likes of Katie Heffernan, who we haven't seen in this campaign, and among others there in the centre position. So they definitely will, nobody will be feeling comfortable. But the two of them, it's very much a jostle, and the coaches will keep you on your toes in terms you saw last year. Aoife got rotated in and out, the two girls maybe more consistent. This year it's the opposite. So you never know what's coming down the line. So they'll be knowing that they're only as good as their last performance in the jersey. So however many minutes both of them get, or whoever gets the longer time or whatever happens, they'll be looking to put their best foot forward to hopefully end the campaign by making it sure, that putting the statement out for themselves and saying, pick me, basically, come the end of it. But yeah, it keeps everyone guessing for sure with that rotational element.
The results against Scotland in recent times, Hannah, so obviously there was the fight back 15-12 win in Belfast last year to clinch third place.
Yeah.
Year before in Hive Stadium, it wasn't exactly excellent, 36-10 defeat.
Part of that one, yeah. I definitely wouldn't be wanting to remember that one too much.
Yeah, like is it just, like, Ireland aren't at that level, you'd imagine, anymore. No. Is it that Scotland have gone down, Ireland have gone up? Is it an element of both?
It's probably a bit of both. I know I've mentioned it previously that in the last probably 2 years of Six Nations campaign, we have limped to a finish against Scotland. As you said, 2 years ago, limped to a disappointing finish where we got beaten out the gate in the Hive with just a really poor performance from us. Last year in Kingspan wasn't exactly a showpiece performance either, where we got across the finish line and ultimately got the World Cup qualification in the bag. But I think Ireland will be looking to make a statement and again, proving the point that we are chasing England and France and pushing away from the pack. How we do that is putting another performance together that's showing that we've got three big wins in the bag that show where we're at in terms of the consistency. Even with those rotations, there'll definitely be a chance of saying people putting their hand up for positions and showing that even with those rotations that we have the consistency in performance. So the stuff that has been good over the last kind of couple of games, even in the defeat to England, that likes of that quick ruck ball, the likes of the set piece kind of consistency, Ireland will be looking to put that together. And I think it'll be a chance to, you know, we have some sore memories against Scotland in terms of they were the ones that took World Cup qualification away from us back and kind of leading into 2022 or leading into 2021. So yeah, there'll definitely be no love lost there in terms of what's to play for, despite Ireland being in a comfortable position in third. You can bet your life that they'll be looking to go and punish and make Scotland feel the hurt a little bit more come Saturday.
Mm.
If I was to ask you three players to watch out for this weekend?
Yeah, from our perspective, I'd say definitely Aoife Corey at 15. It'll be exciting for her to, and it's always nice to have from your debut to be getting the start in jersey. Mm. You don't have to worry about the feeling, the butterflies on the bench that poor Jane Clossy will be feeling. But yeah, Aoife Corey, I think Amy Lee Costigan will have a big game as well, not only as vice-captain, but as I mentioned earlier, leading Aoife and Vicky Elms-Kinlan and having that kind of assured performance that she's had, and she's put a really good few performances kind of together back-to-back with her work rate. And I think Brittany Hogan, I know I mentioned it there in terms of picking up the gap that you might feel from losing an Erin King and an Aoife Wafer, but I'd back Brittany Hogan to have a big game as well. So they're three, and as well as Jane Clossy off the bench, four to have it. Yeah, so we'll go four.
Do you think the Scottish ears might just prick up when you hear Aoife Wafer's not playing?
I'm sure they'll be delighted.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be delighted. And as I said, that back five that they're picking in Malcolm, McLaughlin, Gallagher and Conkle in the second row as well, they've deliberately picked that to go kind of breakdown heavy. You can bet your life that they've gone breakdown heavy there. So I'm sure they'll know more than any team would be that you'll be delighted that Aoife Wafer is out for their point of view. But at the end of the day, like, they're needing to finish high in a good performance. So whether, you know, Wafer is there, as I said, I would back what we have in terms of that shift from wall, from second row to back row, will still give an attritional point of view from an Irish perspective. So they'll have a lot to deal with even without Aoife Wafer there.
Score prediction, Hannah? I know it was a 26 point win over Wales. Will we expect more of the same, or would you take any sort of victory here?
Yeah, I would be hoping that it's I don't know, will we get the bonus point, but I'd be hoping like at least a 2-score gap between us and them. But again, they're at home, they'll have fire in the belly, but Ireland will be looking for, you know, that comprehensive win that we haven't had over the last couple of years against them, or like a kind of a win last year but not comprehensive. So I would say in a two score game win to Ireland, hopefully.
We'll take that. And three away wins on the bounce then at that stage. Definitely. Yeah, 100%. Hannah, thanks a million as always.
Cheers, lads. Thanks for coming in.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 tender, crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. And for the same price, you can now get the chicken rings you love, but with the bold, cheesy seasoning of our new Cheddar Blast chicken rings made with real cheddar cheese. Get 12 for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your crave. Limited time only. Tax extra.